Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Debrief. I'm your host, Luis, and today we're going to be talking about incident management for data teams. Now, if you just said to yourself, incident management for data teams, then I wouldn't fault you. For a lot of people and teams, incident management is a thing that engineers and SREs do, and the incident management tools they use are made for them. But the reality isn't as exclusionary as this. Incident management isn't just an engineering thing, and incident management tools do have practical and sensible applications outside of responding to technical issues. So circling back, let's look at data teams. Very often, they're dealing with pipeline issues that need to be communicated about, resolved, and follow-ups need to happen to make sure similar errors don't happen again. The incident response process is basically exactly the same. An incident is declared, resolved, a postmortem happens to diagnose any contributing factors, and follow-ups get delegated. So if the processes are so similar, why not just funnel them into an incident management tool? To dive a bit deeper into this, I sat down with Jack, data analyst here at Incident.io, to talk about why it just makes sense for data teams to use an incident management tool to manage and respond to issues. We talk about Jack's experience using Incident.io to manage data issues, why there's a trend towards data teams operating more like engineering teams, and a whole lot more. I think you're going to find this conversation really eye-opening, so let's get right into it. Here's my conversation with Jack. So just generally, can you tell us more about your background, what interests you about data, how you ended up here at Incident.io? I know, pretty broad question, but I think it's helpful to get some background.
Yeah, sure. So I spent a couple of years consulting, just a variety of kind of project work. First kind of move into a pure data role would have been Monzo. So I worked in finance data, my time there. Spent a couple of years there, and that's where I met two of the founders from Incident. And more recently, when the opportunity for Incident came up, it was kind of the company hadn't been going that long, and they were making their first data hires, and it was kind of an opportunity to come in at the start and kind of set up a lot of the basics, work across a huge variety of departments and teams. So yeah, just like quite broad, but I've really, really enjoyed it so far. The bit that I guess interests me the most from a data perspective is that bit that sits between the kind of business and technical side of things. So I really enjoy being able to take tons and tons of different information and lots of different bits of technical complexity and make things simple.
And for someone who isn't super familiar with what a data analyst does, very quickly, can you just walk me through what a typical day looks like for you? Obviously, I'm sure it changes day to day, but what does that look like?
Yeah, so from our perspective, we spend a lot of our time embedded with teams. So we'll be working directly with product managers, we'll be working with VPs on the commercial side of things, and just kind of understanding where their priorities are. It could be anything from account scoring right through to understanding a new feature that we've just shipped. So a lot of our work is kind of understanding the questions people want to answer, understanding whether we've got the right information that we need, and then just trying to put the right thing together. Might be a dashboard, might be an alert we send into Slack, might be a one-off write-up we do in Notion, but kind of just taking ambiguous questions and trying to turn them into something actionable.
Gotcha. So just pivoting a little bit, recently you and I spoke and you mentioned that you went to a DBT conference. What did you learn while you were there? Because again, you're here with a bunch of folks in your community. So I'm just curious, what are people talking about? What's like the hot new thing? Any trends that are catching on?
Yeah. DBT as a tool is effectively industry standard now for transforming data. So you're bringing data from a variety of different places, everything from Salesforce, from Stripe, from LinkedIn, all the way through to kind of your internal product data. And beforehand, what people would typically do is they'd have a bunch of individual bits of code that they were running to transform their data and make it useful to put into dashboards. Testing wasn't really as much of a thing. Documentation wasn't really as much of a thing. And DBT provides a kind of neat way to transform all of your data in a clean way, but also document it and test it as you go along. So it helps a lot with scalability. The conference itself, it's an annual conference. They run it across a variety of different locations. We went to the London one this year. One of the big things we've seen, especially over the last year from DBT, is pushing more towards how you run DBT at scale. So there are obviously a lot of things where if you are a data team of two or three, it can be easy to keep on top of everything you're building. It can be easy to keep on top of things that are going wrong. Whereas when you get to a team size of 10 or 20, it becomes far more complicated. So things like, how do you run multiple DBT projects in one go? How do you make metrics reusable? How do you make sure that if you're a team producing lots of different data models and you only want two or three to be used by people outside of your team, how do you do that in a scalable way? So a lot of their focus recently has been kind of on governance and scale. And I think this is reflected from the fact that a lot of larger companies are now adopting DBT. It's not just a thing for kind of startups and scale-ups. So a lot of the problems that they're encountering are kind of tried and tested problems, but it's just interesting to see how the tool is adapting to it.
Gotcha. So taking a step back, you wrote a blog post for our blog, just a quick plug for the Incident.io blog, about incident management for data teams. And at the beginning of that, you mentioned that at this conference, one of the trends that are sort of propping up is this move towards data teams operating more like and using tools that engineers would typically use. Just wondering in general, like, what was your response to that?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. From the point I mentioned around moving towards DBT setups for at scale and enterprise, over the last, I'd say, 6 months to a year, you have seen a lot more things which are, as you mentioned, kind of not standard in the software engineering industry, but definitely solved problems. And so let's say, for example, with DBT, you've kind of implemented 1,000, 2,000 different tests. You've got tests at scale for the first time, and now you're trying to deal with the noise that you can get from that. So you could get, you know, 10, 15, 20 things failing. And a lot of tools in the data stack recently have been built around trying to standardize notifying people about that. So that's things like understanding if the same thing is breaking over and over, alerting the right person if it goes wrong. But I think a lot of the kind of tools and processes that have been built around this are more around telling people that something's going wrong in the first place. I think a lot of things that people have to kind of get to grips with are the fact that you will inevitably end up having to do some form of communication in ESAC. It could be Teams. But whilst there are kind of tools to help you spot what's going wrong, there are kind of less processes around what you actually do when things are going wrong. So the inspiration really for the blog post was the fact that you were seeing a lot of the, I guess, data stack move towards practices that you've seen in software engineering, but the kind of big gap at the moment is, what do you actually do when something goes wrong?
Gotcha. And before we get into that, I am just wondering, maybe you can reflect back on your time at Monzo when there was a pipeline error. How would you typically manage that in the absence of having an incident management tool?
Yeah. Interestingly, so the incident management process and the tooling and the Slack channel around that at Monzo felt very much, when I was there, it felt very much like a kind of an engineering channel to go and solve engineering problems. Whereas the interesting thing was, we kind of saw the process there and how comparatively slick that was. But actually, from a data perspective, typically the flow would be either someone would raise and say, it'd be a Slack message saying, hey, something's looking wrong. Or it could be that you've spotted something and you're posting a data channel for it. I think the challenges there were consistency. So you were just kind of seeing a message would just crop up somewhere. Or it might be, you know, three or four messages into a thread where you've realized something's gone wrong. And I think the main issues were that so much of the work of debugging it and keeping people up to date was done in threads. So for anyone following along, you were just having to scan through, you know, 20, 30 different messages saying, is this severe? Is this not? Is this going to impact the stuff I care about? And for the people fixing it as well, it's not a nice experience to have to go back through and, you know, see a Slack thread. So again, I think that was some of the inspiration for the blog post, really, is reflecting back on that. I remember at a time it kind of seemed a bit peculiar that there was this really well-defined process for software engineering. And it's not to say that, you know, there weren't incidents and there are things that are going wrong. It's more that, you know, if you have a process in place when stuff goes wrong, it feels a lot easier to manage it.
Yeah. Coming in, you mentioned you've been here pretty much since the very beginning. Did you look at the Incident.io tool and say, I'm coming in as a data analyst, but this is a tool I'm going to use?
or were you just saying, hey, I just happen to work here and this is an incident management? So just wondering if you were from the very beginning planning on using this.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, when I first joined, I actually did see where the way that we would run instances internally, and because I'd not used the tool before, not used this management tool, I actually when I first joined, I hadn't planned on that because obviously it was, you know, we were a data team of two to begin with. When we were seeing, let's say, like a repeated issue coming up that, you know, might happen once, twice a month, and we just wanted to get some better visibility on it, and the fact it was happening, get some process around it, it was a natural progression for us to look at how the engineers were doing everything and just go and say, well, why don't we just create a data incident type and work from there? And actually for us, it's helped out massively just from the perspective of, even if you're debugging something by yourself, being able to hop into a channel and just going, I'm going to look at this one specific issue and you've got a threat against it, and I'm going to show what actions I'm doing. It breaks it down into chunks rather than the old process where you would be doing a lot of just kind of back and forth in the thread.
Gotcha. So could you talk me through a recent incident that you managed and sort of what that process looked like from start to finish? Because obviously it seems like communication slipping through the cracks is a big problem in the absence of an incident management tool. But I'm wondering, beyond the communication aspect, how has leaning on an incident management tool like Incident.io helped you and your team?
Yeah, so I think kind of in a couple of ways. So one example recently was we had an issue with a subscription we set up. Obviously, as we're growing in kind of size and complexity, it's kind of inevitable that you'll end up with, you know, something being set up slightly wrong. And common flow for data teams is you are downstream of it. So you will have the test that will pick up that something's wrong, even if you don't own the source data. So declaring an incident in the first place has helped us kind of pull the right people in as well and just get visibility, because frequently you can, you know, declare an incident and someone will hop in who will look at the incident name and they've got context, for example, or you can automatically raise it to the right person. That's something where, you know, in a company at scale where, you know, you might be a data analyst downstream or something that's broken, you don't know who to bring in, the right engineer, whether you should page them, whether you shouldn't. And I think it kind of feels like our tool takes away a lot of the, angst around that. I think another thing that is useful for us as well is the actual process of just tracking it overall and just saying, you know, we're data people, want to be able to go and say, for this type of incident that mentioned this thing, we can see over time, is this something that's occurring once every now and again, and it's fine to just hop on it when it's on fire? Is it something that's happening 2-3 times a month and we're seeing a pattern and we should be looking at whether we should spend time on whatever the root cause of this actually is? I think that's been really helpful. So we'd seen an issue with a subscription that goes wrong. We'd basically declared an incident and brought in someone from revenue operations as well. So for us, it was basically understanding, has something been set up incorrectly and is it report impacting our revenue reporting metrics, which are, you know, our most important numbers. We basically went through the process of understanding which subscription was broken. Revenue operations went through and understood where what actually needed to be fixed. Fixed it in the source data. For us, basically, we assigned actions to each of ourselves and went away and just we could kind of do that in parallel. And when the source data was fixed, we were able to pull that into our pipeline, understand whether we needed to do a manual override or not. In this case, did a simple manual override, and then we were able to run everything from start to finish again and just check that the subscription was set up all right, that the revenue reporting was okay. And it was a fairly like clean, open and shut incident, as it were. But I think I think that was kind of as a result of the fact that we'd gone through that process a couple of times before. So it was a bit easier to just go and say, okay, we know when declaring an incident around this, this is the type of this type of process that we're following.
Yeah. Have you guys run any analysis into how much time you're saving by pushing these processes through an incident management tool? Or if you had to guess, if these dashboards don't exist, if you had to guess, how much time do you think you are saving, again, using a tool like Incident.io versus just managing data issues just async via Slack?
Yeah, it's like, it's a very, very, I guess, like hard question to ask. I guess there are kind of two parts to this, right? So it's the first part of, you know, are we resolving things faster as a result of it? And then there's the second part is, are you developing better long-term processes? I think for us, like, I would say that, you know, for responding to the incident, definitely, because there are a lot of things around even just doing something like having to write up a summary of what's going on so far. That the automated summaries that we're now doing based on content so far is just one of those really nice quality of life things that you're not having to do yourself anymore. But I'd actually say that, you know, the kind of actual the actual process itself, it's less about the kind of speed of it necessarily, but just the kind of I guess how smooth it is. Because the actual individual steps, you could argue that bringing in someone from review operations, understanding what needs to be fixed, going and doing the backfill, are things which you're coordinating better in our tool. So it's very, very hard to say is that part actually faster? But I think for us, it definitely feels more slick and more reliable, because you could have someone else, like for us, we're a smaller data team. But if you've got a data team of 10, 20, and people have got a runbook to work with, then you could feasibly say that you halve the amount of time it takes to respond to an incident, because you've got something that someone has written before on how to deal with these types of incidents. I think the second point I was talking about there around longer term, how can you fix a lot of these issues? Because I think the issues for data teams are not just the things that are going wrong upstream impacting you and like the fix there and then. I think it's more things like that happening on a repeated basis. And for us, because we were able to kind of spot the trend of, this thing is happening, 2 to 3 times a month, for example, we're actually able to make an argument to go and say to finance, okay, we need to redesign our process around here. Maybe we need to look at our tooling, which is what we're in the process of doing now, right? And so actually for us, our perspective, longer term, by having good visibility around this, we have actually been able to put ourselves on the spot where feasibly we are cutting out, 2, 3, 4 incidents a month. So actually, I think the time save here is more in the longer run and getting better processes set upstream. But actually for immediately responding to it, it varies so much. I think for responding to incidents, I think it's a lot around the kind of how well oiled the process feels.
Gotcha. And how difficult is it, or how much of a challenge is it to onboard something like an incident management tool? Because like you said, it's not the most natural fit, at least when you're thinking about it. Like, incident management for engineering teams or SREs, data teams use DBT and they deal with the issues the way that they deal with them. So how much of a consideration is onboarding, and is it difficult at all, or is it a challenge for data teams?
So I think actually being able to declare an incident, join it, and do a lot of the basic things is really straightforward, because we do a lot of prompting with, at this step, you should be doing this thing, or you haven't written an update yet, or, have you assigned someone who's going to lead the incident yet? Or even, you've not posted a message in an incident for, let's say, an hour or 2 hours, it can prompt you to close it. So I think I think the actual tool itself, once you're in, felt very quick from my perspective to actually pick up and be able to kind of do a lot of the basics with. I think where it can help from a data team perspective is actually a lot of the kind of customization and automations around it. So
yeah,
especially when you've got something like if you've got something that's a fault with a subscription, or if you've got something that's a fault with something in your production database, you can actually build automations around here to go and say, what if it's a data incident, what part of your, is it an upstream data issue? If it is, what's the area that's broken? And what that would allow you to do is basically to standardize to say, okay, here's the runbook of how you debug an issue with our production database and the impact on our DBT pipeline. So I think from our perspective, it was very easy to kind of get up and get set up and using the tool. I think it guides a lot of stuff through for you. But I think especially for data teams at scale and not just relying on knowledge in one person's head, or that person who really knows this data model really well, who happens to be on holiday, I think you can set yourself up with a lot of automations that you make it a consistent experience for everyone. And I think also kind of a bit of a less intimidating experience for people. A lot of people will see an incident management tool and think that you have to be an engineer to interact with it. And even the threshold for what is an incident, and the pipeline's broken, does this actually mean that I should be declaring an incident? And I think by making it easy and declaring stuff, often I think you take away a lot of the uncertainty around it, or a lot of shouldn't I be declaring wisdom? Now, frequently, if I think something is wrong in our data pipeline, I will just tag it as a triage and just go and say, okay, I don't know whether this is an actual incident yet, but we're looking into it. And that allows you to have somewhere which is, okay, let's just spin up a quick Slack channel and see if this is a problem or not. So I think that's done a lot to reduce the barrier for data teams and even teams outside of engineering.
That's actually a really good call out, because one of the things that I hear time and time again from our customers is that IncidentIO is so simple to use and so intuitive, and you know, helps you out with these automations, that we feel more confident declaring more incidents. So I'm wondering, do you find you and your team declaring more things incidents than you otherwise probably wouldn't?
Yeah, I think people think of sometimes like incident can be a bit of a loaded term for some people and mean different things to different people. And I think to being able to just set something like a severity, right? Being able to just go and say that this thing is trivial, but we think that we should, you know, raise the awareness of it as well. I think the thing that's a nice feedback loop for data teams is that, you know, a bad pattern for data teams to get into is to be, as I said, downstream of data quality issues. So you're responsible for the dashboards that might be broken, but you might not be responsible for producing the data that has any issues in the first place. So when data teams can get in a loop of trying to fix a lot of problems on an ongoing basis and do a lot of firefighting, it can be quite demotivating, especially when it's just in Slack threads. But if you can actually go and say, you know, every time you are declaring an incident, you are recording that time that you're working. And it allows you, exactly as you said, on like the time saved, is it might not be, oh, well, it'll make us respond to this specific issue faster in the future. It's more that if we can raise the awareness around the fact that this is taking up 10 hours of the team's time per month and you can get rid of it, then you can directly quantify it, right? You can go and say, what is 10 hours of my day's team per month? I think that when you have that type of, I guess, incentive just to surface type of work that you're doing and show that you might be getting a lot of interrupt work that you otherwise shouldn't be or otherwise wouldn't be visible, I think it's a really nice way of kind of bringing data teams into the loop and almost incentivizing people to declare incidents.
Gotcha. And last question for me. I'm coming up to you and I'm saying, Jack, I'm on board. I'm going to start using an incident management tool like IncidentIO tomorrow. How is life going to be different for me tomorrow? What are the three things that you would say?
Yeah. So I think I would say that it would be, the first thing for me is going to be consistency. I think seeing the thing that's written really nice is that I've seen a lot of the issues. So let's say the subscription issue. Typically, I've been the one to, they've seen before now, so it's typically been me or one other person who set up a lot of the data model in the first place and go and dive in and do it. Whereas actually now we've seen other members of the data team be able to pick it up and just go and say, cool, what did we do last time? And I know what to do and where to go and look. So it's kind of, you're already going to see less of that key person dependency of, oh, it's just that person who fixes this data model. You're not having to go fish through Slack threads. You can literally go and look up the same incident that have happened before to go and see how it's done. I think the second one really is, I think, control in a way as well. So let's say from my perspective, I know that there's an issue with the data pipeline and someone else is fixing it. Rather than me having to go through and look through every single specific message or go DMing people and seeing if something's been fixed or going refreshing like a dashboard somewhere, I can actually just go and see in the incident channel, when are the updates being posted? Has this thing been closed? I can subscribe to it. So I can basically, I can kind of dive in at the right level that I want and understand that, if I can, you can request an update from outside the channel as well. So there are a lot of different ways for you to interact with it without having to feel like you're across every detail. And then I'd say the third bit is just visibility. Being able to go and say, this is how many times how long we're spending each month on resolving issues, and having the flexibility to go and say, we've got 10 upstream data sources, for example, and we know this one is causing us 10 plus hours of work every month. It makes it a really compelling case to be able to go and say, there is a certain dollar price tag on the amount of work that we're doing each month here. As aside from the risks of getting something wrong, if you're having to constantly manually go back and fix it. So yeah, I'd say, you know, consistency, control, and visibility are the three things that I feel like have leveled up significantly since using an incident management tool from a data team perspective versus the way that we would manage things before.